We are about to celebrate Human Rights Day. Welcome to Dangerous But Good. There's so much to discuss around human rights. I'm going to bring a slightly different angle today, but let's start with what does it mean? I'm going to read from the government website here in South Africa as to what is meant by Human Rights Day and why it's so important. Human Rights Day serves as a poignant reminder of the struggles faced by many in their quest for equality, dignity, and freedom. The principles of human rights are universal. They're about recognizing the inherent value and worth of every individual. We commemorate Human Rights Day to reinforce our commitment to the Bill of Rights as enshrined in our Constitution. These rights include equality. Everyone is equal before the law and has the right to equal protection and benefit of the law, the right to life, equality, human dignity, to citizenship and security, freedom of assembly, association, belief, and opinion and expression. This day represents peace, unity, and the restoration of human dignity of all South Africans. It is a confirmation that we have made great strides away from the past of exclusion and discrimination on the basis of sex, sexual orientation, color, and creed. Human Rights Day is more than just a public holiday. It commemorates one of the most important pillars of our democracy and our Constitution, the Bill of Rights. We remember the struggle and sacrifice made by thousands of people who marched for equality and basic human rights. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. And absolutely worth celebrating. Around the world, and the history of the world is filled with brave and courageous men and women who have fought for the freedoms we have today, not just South Africa. South Africa, there are obvious examples, Mandela, Oliver Tambo, Helen Suzman, and so many more who fought against the evils of our past to bring about the freedoms that we experience today. But internationally, you look at Human Rights Day, you look at people like Corrie ten Boom, a brave woman who sheltered Jews against the onslaught of the Nazi slaughter of Jews. You look at Rosie Parks, who defiantly sat in a bus in a place where she was not supposed to, according to the Jim Crow rules. You look at so many men and women who historically have fought, given up life, liberty, health, freedom, comfort for the freedoms we enjoy today. And for us in the Western world, we enjoy freedoms today that were unheard of even 100 years ago. And we've got to thank those men and women, and we've got to just honor them and commemorate and celebrate the sacrifices they made for the freedoms that we enjoy today. So let's celebrate. Let's say thank you. Let's appreciate. Let's enjoy. And let's make a commitment to never, ever go back to the days where there was oppression, suppression, and all of these violations of human rights. I want to add a very important angle to our discussion today. And here's a fundamental truth and a profound insight. You and I can only enjoy our fundamental human rights if you and I fulfill our fundamental human responsibilities. We have a right to freedom. We have a right to life. But how about this? Unless I respect your right for freedom, your right for freedom of expression, your right to life, by honoring you, respecting you, creating an environment in which you are able to enjoy life and freedom, I deny you of your human rights. If you deny me the right to freedom of expression, you're denying me my human rights. So every single human being has an obligation to fulfill their human obligations, their human responsibilities, in order for all of us to enjoy our human rights. If I don't do that, I deny you your human rights. If you don't do that, you deny me my human rights. This is the fundamental principle of Ubuntu. I am because you are because I am. And I promote your human rights by my behavior. You promote my human rights by your behavior. We need each other. And so let's unpack what it means to live with human responsibilities in order that the world may enjoy human rights, because one without the other doesn't exist. Human rights only exist if human responsibilities are fulfilled. It's a fundamental thing. Let's unpack some of the human rights that are enshrined in our Constitution. Life. Beautiful. We all have the fundamental human right to life. But here's the thing. If someone acts in a violent way, they immediately begin to deny another human being of their right to life. South Africa has one of the highest rates of murder in the world. Last year, official police statistics show that 27,000 people were murdered in South Africa. 27,000. You know that in 9/11, just over 3,000 people died. 3,000 people. That was a major universal crisis. In South Africa, we have virtually 9 9/11s every year in terms of murder. And what are we doing about that? You see, when I violate, when I act violently, when I act abusively, I violate your human rights. So this human right to life depends on everyone else's human responsibility to respect my right to life. Equality, it's another right enshrined in our Constitution. I have the right to equality with you. But if you treat me as less than, if you, by your behavior, don't treat me as an equal, you're violating my right. And that fundamental human right that I have is not being fulfilled. I cannot enjoy it because of your treatment of me. If I treat you as less than, or I treat you as less than equal, I am violating your right by not fulfilling my human responsibility to treat each and every human being with equality. Human dignity is another right enshrined in our Constitution. If I don't treat you with dignity, I'm denying you your fundamental human rights. If you don't treat me with dignity, you're denying me my fundamental human rights. You see how closely they're allied. Two sides of the same coin. We only have human rights to the extent that other people fulfill their human obligations. You and I enjoy rights to the extent that you and I fulfill our obligation to live with human obligations, human responsibilities. Another one is citizenship and security. Another one is freedom of assembly. Another one is freedom of association. Another one enshrined in our Constitution is belief, opinion, and expression. And that's a big one, man. That's a big one. Freedom of belief, opinion, and expression. We're living in this very polarized world where sometimes just by expressing your opinion, you get canceled. Now, if you cancel me because of what I express my beliefs are, you're violating my human rights. If I do the same to you, I'm violating your human rights. And so we need to really enjoy, appreciate, live out our human rights, but respect everyone else's right to do the same. And it's a reciprocal thing. It's an Ubuntu thing. I am because you are. You are because I am. You have rights because I fulfill my responsibilities. I have rights because you fulfill your responsibilities. When we don't fulfill our obligations and responsibilities, we deny each other human rights. United Nations in 1948 put out a declaration, a universal declaration of human rights, containing 30 articles, each one outlining a fundamental human right. This came out in 1948. I would encourage you to go and look at those 30 articles outlining the fundamental human rights that we all have. Almost 50 years later, a universal declaration of human responsibilities came out. And this contains 19 articles. And I want to go through those 19 articles because unless we fulfill these 19 articles, those 30 fundamental human rights that were in this Universal Declaration of Human Rights become meaningless. They are null and void. And so let's look at them. Number one, every person has a responsibility to treat all people in a humane way. Isn't that beautiful? You know, the answer to every single ill in this on planet Earth, racism, sexism, sex trafficking, human trade, every single thing you can think of, abuse, gender-based violence, all of them, the answer to all of them is for every human being to follow this 19 articles of human responsibilities. If every human being does this, the world would be a beautiful, peaceful paradise. Every person has a responsibility to treat all people in an humane way. Isn't that beautiful? Why don't we just do that? Number two, all people have a responsibility to strive for the dignity and self-esteem of all others. Isn't that amazing? Number three, everyone has a responsibility to promote good and to avoid evil in all things. I mean, that's magnificent. If every one of us, men and women, used our strength to fight against what's evil, to stand up for what's good, we'd be in paradise. Number four, what you do not wish to be done to yourself, do not do to others. So simple. So simple. Yeah. Treat others the way you want them to treat you. Such a simple and beautiful concept. Number five, every person has a responsibility to respect life. So obvious. Number six, disputes between states, groups, or individuals should be resolved without violence. Every citizen and public official has a responsibility to act in a peaceful, nonviolent way. Beautiful. We have disagreements. You say something, I disagree with it. I say that you disagree. Let's resolve it peacefully. Let's discuss. Let's not fight. Let's not kill. So basic. Number 7, every person is infinitely precious and must be protected unconditionally. Isn't that amazing? Every single human being is of equal value and equal worth and of infinite value. All men, all women are created equal in the sight of God. If we just stuck to that fundamental principle, you are as valuable as I am. I am as valuable as you are. Let's treat each other as human beings. Valuable, infinitely valuable human beings. And what a world we'd live in. Every person has a responsibility to behave with integrity, honesty, and fairness. Beautiful. Integrity, honesty, and fairness. Let's treat each other with integrity, with honesty, with fairness. All people, given the necessary tools, have a responsibility to make serious efforts to overcome poverty, malnutrition, ignorance, and inequality. Isn't that wonderful? If we all worked towards dealing with global poverty, global inequality, all of us, we'd eliminate it. We have the resources. We just need the intent. All people have a responsibility to develop their talents through diligent endeavor. One of the greatest killers of life and humanity and prosperity is a sense of entitlement, a sense of the world owes me, that I don't have to do anything, that the government owes me, that my parents owe me, the world owes me. I want to play a very interesting little video clip.
This is what I want to do. I want to game.
Yeah. Gaming is going to be my job.
Oh, I do it. I'm really good at it.
You got student loans. You got car payment. You got insurance.
I'm really f***ing good at it.
This costs me like hundreds of dollars. It's an expensive
hobby. I don't care. You got to get a job.
I'm never going to quit playing.
He's having it.
Oh, God. It's okay. GameStop was just like starting to
f***ing, up there. You want your YouTube videos? Oh, you think it's funny?
A little island native over here.
Step the dog
f***. Oh, shit. Oh, God. Are you really going to do it?
Absolutely classic. Here we have a young man, I don't know, early 20s. All he wants to do is game. He's got school fees to pay. He's not paying the bills. He's just living on the couch and expecting his father and his mother and his parents just to provide everything. And all he wants to do is game. Absolutely no attempt to take responsibility, to step up, to use his God-given talents, to make a difference in the world. And this is crucial. Every single one of us as human beings has been given gifts and talents and abilities, a purpose on earth. And we need to step up and take responsibility. And, you know, I love what one commentator said. It starts with making your bed in the morning. Just get up, make your bed. Make sure your life is in order. Your affairs are in order. Look after yourself mentally, physically, emotionally. Just step up and take responsibility. Use your God-given talents. Grow them. Grow your strength, your ability, because that's our responsibility. Because when we fail to do that, we fail to give the world the gift that we are to the world. We fail ourselves. We fail our loved ones. We fail the world because we are not stepping up and being to the world what we need to be. So this fundamental human responsibility, let me repeat it. All people have a responsibility to develop their talents through diligent endeavor. Absolutely. No entitlement. No one owes you anything. We owe the world. We owe our parents. We have a gift to give the world. We've been given so much. Let's give back. Number 11, everyone should lend support to the needy, the disadvantaged, the disabled, and to the victims of discrimination. Isn't that beautiful? We need to live our lives with compassion and care, realizing how much we've been given, whatever privileges and advantages we have. How can we use those to help others who don't have as much as we do? What a beautiful principle. Number 12, all property and wealth must be used responsibly in accordance with justice and for the advancement of the human race. Economic and political power must not be handled as an instrument of domination, but in the service of economic justice and of the social order. And here, so many governments are at fault. So many politicians are deeply, deeply at fault, deeply in error. every bit of power we have, whether it's political, economic, physical, emotional, whatever power we have a responsibility to use that to serve the human race, to give, to love, to serve, protect, to honor. A husband who has physical strength has the obligation and the mandate to protect, to create a safe environment. Governments who've been given political power and resources and access to lawmaking and economic power have a duty, a responsibility to use that in the service of their citizens. And we don't see enough of that. We don't see enough of that. Every person has a responsibility to speak and act truthfully. No one, however high or mighty, should speak lies. The truth sets free. When we walk in truth and walk in the light, everyone knows where they stand. The world is a far better place. Lies consume. One lie leads to the next lie, to the next. Lies deceive. Lies don't give people the dignity of being able to make the choices they need to make based on the truth. And truth has become more and more difficult to find in this world of post-truth, they call it. A world of lies and disinformation. Number 14, no politicians, public servants, business leaders, scientists, writers, or artists, or anybody are exempt from general ethical standards. General ethical standards. Don't take bribes. Be honest. Walk with integrity. Fundamental human responsibility. Number 15, the freedom of the media to inform the public and to criticize institutions of society and governmental actions, which is essential for a just society, must be used with responsibility and discretion. And this is something we're seeing so abused at the moment. So many news houses, so many news agencies, so many journalists are consumed with ideology as opposed to truth. And they're not telling the truth. They're bending the truth to suit their ideology, promoting all kinds of agenda instead of saying, what is the truth? Even if I don't like it, let me speak the truth. Let me tell the truth. Again, the power of the media, the power of those who have a platform is enormous because it influences so many people. And the obligation of these individuals and these institutions is to speak the truth, no matter how painful it is. Number 16, while religious freedom must be guaranteed, the representatives of religions have a special responsibility to avoid expressions of prejudice and acts of discrimination towards those of different beliefs. I've often said this, the sign of a great man or great woman is the ability to see the bad in their own tribe and the good in someone who doesn't belong to their tribe. In other words, the ability to seek out the truth wherever it may be found and to call out error wherever it may be found, no matter what our religious affiliation. I'm a Christian, but that doesn't mean that I can condemn someone of another religion. I must treat them with equal dignity, respect, honor, because they are an equal human being of equal value to me, of equal value to the world, to God. And so religion, nationality, ethnicity, none of this gives me the right to treat anyone as less than or different in a way that's demeaning. 17, all men and women have a responsibility to show respect to one another and understanding in their partnership. Respect and understanding. Number 18, in all its cultural and religious varieties, marriage requires love, loyalty, and forgiveness and should aim at guaranteeing security and mutual support. A man and woman in a relationship is a beautiful thing. Each member of that partnership needs to treat the other with dignity, respect, love, care, and growth. And compromise, where compromise is necessary. And finally, number 19, sensible family planning is the responsibility of every couple. This is a very controversial one, but such a profound truth. We live in a society where so many people just have kids without thinking. Have kids without thinking. When before having a child, one needs to really count the cost. Can I provide for this child? Can I create an environment in which this child can flourish and thrive? Do I have the financial, the moral, the time? Do I have all the resources I need so that this child will have the best chance to be its best in life? The relationship between parents and children should reflect mutual love, respect, appreciation, and concern. No parents or other adults should exploit, abuse, or maltreat children. I mean, this is basic, fundamental stuff. Children are the most vulnerable in society, and how we as elders and parents treat them is absolutely fundamental to the health of our society and our future. Let me repeat, you and I can only enjoy our human rights. And we're living in an era where human rights, particularly in the Western world, are probably at the highest level they've ever been. the rights of minorities, the rights of different genders, the rights of different sexual orientations, religions, are probably at the highest they've ever been in the Western world. Obviously, there are nations in this world where those rights are still, there's still oppression based on ethnicity, religious affiliation, et cetera, et cetera. But we enjoy rights today like we never have before, and we need to honor and respect and celebrate those brave men and women throughout history who have fought for the rights that we have today, the freedoms we have today. But the other side of the coin is we have fundamental human responsibilities. And unless we fulfill those responsibilities, the world will still struggle with the violation of human rights. The more I treat the car guard, the janitor in my building, with dignity and respect, the more I'm promoting human rights. The more I, as a man, treat my wife or partner with love and care and dignity and respect and equality, the more I'm promoting human rights. The more, as a parent, I raise my children to respect others, if I raise them with respect and dignity, with care, nurture, and love, the more I'm promoting human rights internationally. The more we fulfill our obligations as human beings to treat everyone else as equal, valuable human beings, dignity, respect, the more we're promoting human rights. The less I cancel others, the more I listen to them, even though they might have a different opinion to me, the more I am promoting human rights and the more I'm contributing towards a world of peace, and dignity, and respect, and love and prosperity. So I would encourage you, enjoy and celebrate the amazing freedoms you have, the human rights we have. Continue to fight for those. But remember, the foundation for human rights is human responsibility. So find out what your responsibilities are and make sure you fulfill them. Be dangerous, but dangerous for good. And let's create a world of peace, prosperity, joy, and dignity for all.